Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into Scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help group leaders who teach adult Bible studies using Lifeway's Explore the Bible adult resources. Today, we will look at three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And third, what's one thing leaders should not miss in our leader resources this week? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Chris Brown. Chris is the team leader for Explore the Bible students. He's been on our podcast in the past, and he always does a great job. Chris, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Hi, Amber. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, today we're diving into session three, and even though it feels like it's the beginning of this quarter, this is our second quarter to be in Matthew. So we have been steadily working our way through this gospel. Today we are going to look at Matthew 16, verses 13 through 26. Well, let's begin with some context. The events of our study passage today unfold in the region of Caesarea Philippi. This region, found 15 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, is noted on the map for this quarter. Leaders, you can find this and highlight this in your Bible study time by directing group members to the inside back cover of the personal study guide, or if you all use the daily discipleship guide, it's there too. It's also found on the inside back cover of the leader guide. So that map is just super helpful. You can always just turn over to that. And as I was saying, the Caesarea Philippi is noted on that map, so you could give your group members some geographical context. This passage is an important one for a few reasons. First, we hear a clear statement of Jesus' identity as the Messiah, the one who had been prophesied to come, the one who would deliver his people. Peter's words in verse 15, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Those words are significant. And then second, this passage is important because by the end of it, Jesus begins to prepare his disciples for his coming death. So there'll be more on that later, but to fully set the stage for our discussion, I just wanted to point out those two things. We get a declaration of Jesus's identity, and we get a new direction for the rest of Matthew's gospel. Well, our first passage that we'll look at today comes in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. Outside Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples who people thought he was. He also challenged them to consider who they believed him to be. Peter responded by acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah and Savior, and Jesus affirmed his response as an insight provided by God the Father and a foundation for the church. Well, Chris, as we take a look at these verses, what are some key takeaways or important teachings you see here that we will want to bring out in our Bible study discussion?
Yeah, great question, Amber. I really love this passage. I've actually been to Caesarea Philippi.
Really?
And it's about 7 years ago. And it's such a fascinating area and landscape. And, you know, one of the things that I learned and one of the things that I'm sure is covered in the commentary material is that this was a site of worship for a nature god known as Pan, and the home of a temple dedicated to Augustus Caesar. And so for Jesus' identity as Messiah to be announced here is really, really important. And it demonstrates that Jesus and his kingdom are superior to Caesar's and all the idols and mythical gods that were worshipped and celebrated at that time in that area. And so there's this kind of central question that, you know, we have to deal with is, you know, who do we say that Jesus is? You know, why is it important for us to understand who Jesus is? And as it was true in that day, it's true in ours that, you know, there's no shortage of answers that, you know, culture will attempt to provide. You know, he's a good teacher, or he's just a very important historical figure. He's, you know, a prophet in some way, shape, or form. You know, so but for Jesus's identity, for him to be announced as, you know, the Messiah, like the one true Lord of all things. You know, that's really important for us, you know, and so we need to come to that question. At the end of the day, we all need to come to that question and answer it in mm-hmm. some way. And so the good news invites us and calls us to respond to that question with faith in Jesus and who he truly is and what he has done for us.
That's right. It was, well, it was certainly a watershed moment when it happened, but the question is still valid for us. So that's a great, absolutely. That's a great point to make. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. Having established himself as the Messiah, Jesus announced that he would suffer and be prosecuted in Jerusalem. Ultimately, this would lead to his crucifixion and resurrection. Peter rebuked Jesus for saying this. It was such an unusual thing, but the Lord rebuked him for focusing on human desires more than God's desires. Here's the part where we say Jesus shifts his focus in his earthly ministry. From then on, in verse 21, cues us to his plan. So we read that he began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. So just after Peter correctly identified him as the Messiah, Jesus began to prepare them for his coming death. Peter, though, was unable to just accept what Jesus said. And so he took him aside and said, no, surely this won't happen. This can't be right. Jesus' response to that may surprise some people. So speaking to the man he just called the rock, speaking to Peter, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." So one question some in our group may ask is, why so harsh? You know, why did Jesus have to say it that way? Well, we can certainly understand Peter's humanity in this statement. You know, he was a follower of Jesus. He didn't want to hear that he was going to be killed. He didn't understand. Well, let's just say that he didn't understand. So we can see Peter's point, but the truth was that Jesus would follow the Father's plan and he would fulfill his mission. And we know that that meant he would go to the cross. So Peter clearly couldn't see that, didn't understand. This was God's plan to bring salvation. And in verse 23, it clarifies Jesus's meaning to Peter. And he says, "You're not thinking about God's concerns, but you're thinking about human concerns." We know the only way to salvation would come through the cross. Typically toward the end of the podcast, we have a feature called Don't Miss This. And this week I want to talk about it now because it connects to this part of the passage. We always highlight a feature in the leader guide that we think is just especially useful. If you only pull out one thing to use, don't miss this. That's why we call it Don't Miss This. So this week we have a bonus digital content piece. It's on page 40 of the leader guide. Leaders, you can scan the QR code using your phone and you'll be able to access a brief video. In the video, Mike Livingston, who is an editor on our Explore the Bible team, and he's a frequent podcast guest. He talks about the three times in Matthew's gospel that Jesus predicts his own death. So he did this. Jesus talked about his own coming death three different times to prepare his disciples for what was coming. And we can tell from Peter's first response that they needed some preparation. They needed to understand because they didn't at the moment. So it's an interesting video. It can help put together these three passages. This is the first one. This is the first prediction found here in Matthew 16. But there'll be two more where Jesus discusses what he came to do and why he would die. Okay, so don't miss that. Don't miss the QR code. Well, our final passage that we'll look at today comes in Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. So Jesus explained the standard for his disciples. Following him required self-denial and self-sacrifice for his sake. The Christian life is a paradox where death produces life and sacrifice produces great gain. Chris, what should leaders pay attention to in these verses?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the central point is that, you know, we cannot follow Jesus fully until we sacrifice our personal agendas to him. At the end of the day, self-sacrifice and self-denial, these things are integral to what it means to following Jesus. And we live in, you know, a world that's broken and fractured by sin. And because of sin, we have this bent toward adopting behaviors and ways of thinking that are countercultural to the way of following Jesus. You know, we want our comfort more than anything else. We want to be happy more than anything else. We want to be successful more than anything else. And these are all things that, you know, our culture says, no, these are good. These are the things that you need to be pointing everything, you know, everything in your life toward, you know. But the way of Jesus is, you know, following him. It is self-sacrifice. Yeah. It is putting his lordship and the ways of his kingdom, you know, above all else, which doesn't come naturally to us, you know. And so that's why we need to, you know, continually yield ourselves to him. And by the power of the Spirit, he actually enables us to emulate his character and his behavior. And so it's really, really challenging because, you know, I'll speak personally, you know, I'll wake up in the morning and, you know, sometimes God's kingdom-minded agenda is not the first thing on my mind. It's like, okay, you know, what's the thing that I want to do? What's the thing that I, you know, want to achieve? Mm-hmm. And so it's really a way of just reorienting, not just like our minds, but our hearts around Jesus and who he is and his mission in the world.
Right, right. So there's a question in one of the resources, and it says, what does it mean to deny ourselves and to carry our cross? And I would just encourage leaders to put some thought into how you can discuss that. Because if you have a class of people, or if you have a group of people that have been in church for any amount of time, they've heard those phrases, deny yourself and carry your cross. They've heard those phrases a lot. And I think there can be some concern that we hear those phrases and we no longer really put a lot of thought into them or really what they mean. And so I think there could be some good discussion of, okay, so today in our communities, what does it mean to deny ourselves in our relationships, in our work life, in our church? What's that really look like? What are some practical things? And what's it mean to carry our cross? Because I think we should be continually asking ourselves that question so that we can faithfully follow what God calls us to do.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because that's, you know, we don't outgrow,
right?
You know, the concept of taking up our cross and following Jesus. You know, get to a point this side of eternity where, you know, we're like, all right, I've picked up my cross enough. I've done the things, you know, so that to continually be having that conversation, whether someone's, you know, newer to following Jesus or has been following Jesus for decades, that's a conversation that we really need to continually be having and reevaluating. So I totally agree. That's awesome.
There's always a danger when it's a very common passage that we no longer really look at it or really, you know, think through it, because we're like, oh, I've studied that before, but we don't want to
read
that.
It without reading it.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a great study. We hope that your groups this weekend have a robust discussion of this passage and come away with a deeper understanding of it. Well, Chris, thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, don't miss next week's episode. Dwayne McCreary will be joining me and we will discuss session 4. So we'll be taking a look at Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. We hope you'll join us.